Hello and welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. I'm Carl James, joined as always by Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer. So the Indiana Hoosiers have another series win under their belts. The Hoosiers are again tied for first place with the Michigan Wolverines for the Big Ten lead. On the week, the Hoosiers went 2-2. That 2-1 series victory at Penn State, and then taking a loss last night at the Indiana State Sycamores. We've got a lot to cover today, including later on in this episode, we'll have an appearance by a special guest. But to start with, let's get some analysis on the week. Cassidy, what do you got for us this week?
Yeah, so I ended up digging into kind of the opposite of what I looked at last week, looking at the offense with runners in scoring position, because that seemed to be kind of a big difference maker in the games. In that first Penn State game, had 9 at-bats with runners in scoring position, only one hit for a 111 batting average. That's not going to do it in Big Ten play. And even then, there was only one other Walker HBP. So it's not like, ooh, they were getting walks with runners in scoring position and that kind of throws things off. No, there was nothing with runners in scoring position. In the second game, not significantly better. There were fewer instances with runners in scoring position. But again, only one hit. Ended up 167 with runners in scoring position. That third game, 25 at-bats with runners in scoring position. And in those 25 at-bats, there were 11 hits. And that is how you score 22 runs. You bat 440 with runners in scoring position. Now, of course, yesterday with Indiana State, that number on the hits was 0. They were 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position, which, again, not great. I was happy to see the team getting on base, getting some hits, getting some offense. They just a mixture of not stringing it together, not getting those hits with runners in scoring position, or when they did, there were some balls hit into unfortunate spots, like an inch higher and that's a hit
or a home run.
Yeah,
well, I was thinking that double play.
Yeah, but they should have scored 4 runs that inning.
right.
That was a rough inning. Jeez.
Right. And so those happen. You're going to have those bad luck days. And even on the offense or on the pitching side on Tuesday against Indiana State, there was only one inning with a crooked number. Like I'm not hyper concerned about individual solo shots. Those happen. Those are about the least stressful and damaging way to give up runs.
Right.
You're not worrying about runners on the bases. It's not a snowball inning kind of thing. A solo shot is a solo shot. Unless it's a walk-off, I don't care on those.
Yeah. And the pitcher's attacking. That's the point. The pitcher is supposed to attack the zone. And every now and then, you know, these good hitters are going to connect on one. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, to me, not hyper concerned about yesterday. Those games happen, especially in middle. I know I've said before, I'll say it again. I'm very rarely going to get particularly concerned with a midweek performance.
Yep. Well, and actually, I think overall it was actually pretty positive from a pitching perspective. Mm-hmm. You got to see, I mean, especially you got to see the step forward from Brooks Eye, which was, and again, they've talked about this a lot. They're trying to add a guy every week. Yep. Well, this past week, I think you can argue that they've added two. They've added Wes Burton and they've added Brooks Eye. So, now granted, I know you want to see you'd like to see something out of that in this Iowa series, but I think that's a good step forward.
Yep.
Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, for me, I think it was the opposite of last year. You know, the fact that we don't get a, well, we had base runners. We think we had four total base runners from the second inning on in that game, and we still won. Right?
Yeah.
And also, I mean, again, no offense to last year's team, but we're not winning that game last year.
No.
And we're not winning. We are absolutely not winning the game two with a doubleheader when it was just, I mean, what was it, 14-7? You're thinking it's over, and then hit, walk, hit, base hit, double. And it's just like, okay. Now, last year, I just waited for them to catch us, pass us, we lose. And then, you don't know, it wouldn't be catch us, pass us, we lose. They would catch us, pass us, we come back a little more, and then we lose. Because that's the bats, right? The bats would keep coming back. But the opposite of those games. Now, Friday night, they beat us, right? We didn't execute with the opportunities we had, and we had a lot of opportunities.
Yep.
And we didn't perform. It happens, right? But Saturday, I put it down here. We had 9 base runners in the first 2 innings. We had 4 base runners the rest of the game, and one of those got erased on a double play. So it's like, come on. But we still win, you know? And we still win Sunday in that crazy game. Like, you see that game, what was it, 22-11 final?
Yep.
Wasn't it?
Yep.
But when that was 14-11 with the bases loaded and the stirrups coming to the mound.
Oh, yeah.
Was that going to be 22-11? I mean, we didn't know what was happening.
Right.
I remember texting you guys, like, who else we got in the pen in case West can't throw 3 innings? Now, again, I had faith in him to get it done. If you look at it, I had faith in the stirrups if you look at the text.
Yes.
But I don't know if I had faith in him in that many outs
yeah.
to get it all the way through. You know what I'm saying? I had faith in him to put out the fire, but there was still a lot more outs to go.
Yep.
And
he
this
was
is,
still able to get them.
And this is where I absolutely love the save rule, because it gave – West the save in a 22-11 game.
But he earned it.
Oh, he did.
Came in with the bases loaded.
Oh, he did. But it just,
there is no,
the go-ahead run was at the plate.
Right.
Not the tying run, the go-ahead run.
But how often do you see a save in a 22-11 final score?
Yeah.
Yeah. My observations of this week was we won 2 games. We would not, again, no offense to last year's team, but we wouldn't have won those 2 games last year. And to be able to flip the script twice in a row in a doubleheader, and it even goes against Carl's doubleheader rule. So I like that too.
Well, and one thing that stood out to me, and I didn't pull numbers on it, but from an offensive standpoint, how well they were running up pitch counts. Because like particularly in both ends of the doubleheader, Penn State had thrown, let's see, 64 pitches through 2 innings. That's insane. And now, granted, Miller came in and absolutely settled it down, but 64 pitches through 2 innings. And then on in the second game, it was 38 through 2, and then 74 through 3.
Sweet.
Those are just insane numbers. And
feel free to use those numbers Friday night against this Breck fella.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be the real deal.
Well,
I'll
notice
take 70 pitches of him in 3 innings also.
Yeah. Well, notice that's when all the runs were being scored, outside of that 8th inning chaos. But all of those runs were being scored pretty early in most of the games. And so seeing them work counts like that was really good to see.
Well, and to your point,
to
Chris,
do that Friday night.
Yeah, to your point,
that
Chris,
guy to get off the mound whenever we can.
Yeah, well, to your point, that's how Maryland beat him.
Yeah.
They beat him by running him, and they got him to 94 pitches in 5 innings. They scored 3 off of him. But they did it, and then they got to the bullpen.
Because he's an MLB draft pick.
Yeah, well, it's because, I mean, he's throwing triple digits. So
yeah. Well, the other Friday night kid, the Coupe kid, Ohio State, that we talked about, we knew was good. But he's not on, like, he had an MLB curveball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We knew he was solid. This kid is on MLB boards.
Yes.
So we really are going to have a challenge on Friday night. And I love the cash strategy. What was it? 70 pitches through 3.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a good point. Let's get a different perspective on all of this. We are now going to go ahead and bring in our special guest. Well, now we come to the special segment of our show. We have a guest with us right now. We have Indiana University baseball catcher Peter Cerruto. Peter, welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we love having you. So basically what we're just going to do in this segment, we're just going to kind of get that player perspective on how things are going. So, Peter, just tell us a little bit about how, you know, from your perspective, how the weekend has gone and kind of where the team is now in the course of the season.
I think we're in a really good spot. Obviously, Big Ten play started off on a really good note, sweep of Ohio State, and then, you know, getting the series on the road at Penn State. You know, I think we're in a good spot on the mound. We pitched it really well. And, you know, as we've seen, the bats have really came alive at times too. So I think we're playing really good complementary baseball on both sides, and we're looking to keep it rolling.
You have a lot of new arms on this staff, Pete. I just, it has really surprised us. I got to say how smooth the transition has been, and, you know, being behind the plate. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give Coach Glenn a lot of credit. It's really tough going into the fall, which is pretty much a clean slate. I mean, we lost three pitchers to professional baseball, and we had to kind of manage, okay, this guy will go here, this guy will go here. But now at this point in the season, once we're in conference, we kind of know what guys' certain roles are and who fits where. And as a catcher, it's interesting to just kind of see that all play out and develop. And it's been really nice to see some of these guys have a lot of success.
You've actually had 20 different guys throw in an actual game. I can't imagine what that's like as a catcher.
I mean, it's definitely unique having to kind of know behind the scenes what their tendencies are and the shape of each pitch, but it's also it's pretty easy when you build a relationship with a lot of these guys off the field, and then you got pitch comm in your ear telling you what's coming, and you know, D-Man and Coach Glant getting everybody right off the field. It's been a smooth transition, but yeah, for sure, 20 different arms is certainly a lot. I don't think I've ever seen that in my career.
I mean, don't take it lightly. Having two veteran catchers absolutely helps. I know you want to be the humble guy, and I'm sure Matthew wants to be too. But I think that's really benefited us, having you two guys behind the plate with all these young arms and also new arms to the program. And I really think you guys need to, you know, take a little credit for that. You've really put it together.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think Matt and I have really taken that, you know, very importantly. Like, we have to, you know, if it's a younger guy on the mound, we have to make sure that they feel comfortable in any situation, runners on base, making sure the signs are right, making sure the execution's right. And like you said, I think it is very, very important to have some experience behind the plate, especially dealing with all these new pitchers. And I think it's been pretty smooth so far.
And then on the defensive end, also helping out the pitchers from time to time, catching a runner trying to steal, you guys have both been really, really good with that this year.
I appreciate that. I mean, that again too, that's a lot of the credit goes to the pitching staff. We've done an unbelievable job holding runners. You can just, if you come to one of our games, we hold guys so tight. We pick off really effectively. We're quick to the plate, and then, you know, once they get it there, it's a slam dunk. You just got to catch and throw and make a good throw to second base. And our middle infielders have done an unbelievable job too with tag plays. Tyler Cerny and Philip Glasser have been unbelievable in the middle infield. I know just yesterday too, I had a play where I kind of had to chuck it down there, and Cerny picked it up and got a big out there in the eighth inning. So
video replay confirmed.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all kind of holding our breath there, but I'm glad that confirmed that.
I did also enjoy the chicken sounds. Every throw, because I try to track that, and sometimes on the audio you can't always catch it when there's a chicken sound every throw over.
That's the one thing when you're holding runners, like, you got to deal with all that outside. Like, we were at Texas, every time we picked off, like, it was like the whole stadium just was just right on top of us booing. Like, it's unbelievable, but hey, we'll take it.
Speaking of Texas, I just need to know what was going through your head when that fourth guy took off on you.
I honestly, like, I kind of blacked out. Like, after the third one, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. But then the fourth guy going, I was like, this is all business. Like, let's go. I'm going for number four. That was definitely a pretty cool moment. And that was pretty awesome. Yeah. Not gonna lie.
Five is going to be hard to beat. I couldn't even believe four. Who keeps running then? It doesn't even make sense.
I'm not gonna question it just because.
No.
So just now, just a quick look forward. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of preparations you guys are making with Iowa coming to town?
Yeah, it's definitely a really good pitching staff. Offensively, you know, we have to be ready to hit the fastball and make pitchers, you know, land off-speed pitches, because that's definitely the hardest thing to do as a college pitcher, throw multiple pitches for a strike. So we have to hit fastballs, and then on the mound for us, we just have to keep attacking. When we attack, like, we don't lose because we're in the zone. We don't walk as many guys, and we play really, really good defense. We played unbelievable defense this weekend at Penn State on a tough surface too. And now that we're back at our home turf, I think, you know, we just keep that momentum going, play attack on the mound, play really good defense. And then, you know, we're tough for any pitcher coming in. We're a tough lineup to face. So we're excited. We're really excited for this weekend. It's a good team. And, you know, we're ready for the challenge.
Well, that is awesome. And it's been really great, Peter, giving a chance to have you here with us, talking about the team, and best of luck this weekend. We're definitely looking forward to seeing this series.
Thank you so much. Let's hope for good weather and we can play a normal three-game series and come out with series one. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
All right. That was awesome having Peter on.
We had half the show at East Coast, Carl. Cass, I'm sorry, but it was 50-50 there for a little while.
Yep. All right. So I guess let's talk about the we've just gotten the MLB season kicked off. Let's have a little discussion on the alumni. Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, the star has to be Timmy Herron. He makes his major league debut. He comes in, he strikes out the first guy, then strikes out the side, and the real strike out the side. Got all three. Nobody got on. No hits, nothing in the middle. It was the first time since 1893. Okay? I don't know, for those of you new to baseball, baseball's been around since 1893, and nobody in their MLB debut came in and struck out the first four guys that they ever faced. And then you know what he did? He came in again the next night and struck out another guy. So he now has, there was this record that I have always said will never be broken. There was this dude who threw two consecutive no-hitters. I'm like, damn, you'd have to throw three in a row to break that. Well, now someone pitching their MLB debut has to strike out the first six guys they ever face to break Timmy Herron's record, some quarterback from Terre Haute. Like, come on, it's crazy. So happy for him, so happy for his family and Hoosiers and Indiana. And you could see everybody with the tweets and the quote. It was just so cool. And I mean, honestly, if he came in and gave up two hits and walked up, he struck out the first four guys. It was great. You know, just to have him on the team was a big deal. And to him perform like that, it was really, I was just proud, you know, like, you know this kid, like, you don't know him, but you kind of know him. And it was really cool. It was like, and I always said this with Schwarber, it was like you knew a band from the garage days, and then he's on the big show, and like, you know them, you know, it was pretty wild. And Schwarber was definitely my first experience with that from when I moved out here, you know, the garage band. And now there's been others, right? You know, we've seen guys make their debuts and pitch well, but Timmy Herron really stole the show. So that was real impressive. Schwarber hit his 200th bomb in Yankee Stadium, by the way. And then he hit his 201st in Yankee Stadium, by the way. So that was cool. Good for Kyle. Elijah Dunham doing real well in AAA. Caleb Barriger, also AAA. Jonathan Stever, had a start last night. I don't know when, it depends when you listen to this, but had a start Tuesday night for his AAA team through two zeros, and they took him out. So we got some guys rolling in AAA, and you know, you got Gorski sitting there in AA, who might just hop AAA, honestly. So we got a lot of guys coming, but this week is definitely Timmy Herron's week. Congrats to him for a hell of a start to an MLB career.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. I guess I'll go through what I had prepared for today. It's getting to the part of the season where I can actually do some of my analysis now that we've got enough information on teams. So I'm really going to take a look at the Big Ten, and it's, you know, it's difficult. We have 9 weeks, and two of them have been completed now. And obviously that first week, five teams have byes. So you don't have a ton of numbers, but you do have some interesting matchups that have taken place. And as I said a little earlier, Indiana is currently tied with Michigan for first in the Big Ten. Both teams have are 5-1 at this point. So what I did was a schedule analysis. I wasn't going to go through a whole bunch of prediction. And if you want to know why, go to iubase.com and look at B1G Pick'em and look at my results so far. So if I were to do an exercise, I would take a page out of what I did last year, and I would text Josh and ask him to pick all of the rest of the – last year it was Cass, and who knows? It may be Cass again once we get through these picks. It's so far clearly not going to be me. But I will, you know, I can though look at a team's schedule and say, based on what I've seen so far, I think this team has got a pretty easy walk. And I'm looking at, you know, the two teams that are probably being looked at nationally as the strongest in the Big Ten. That's Iowa and Maryland. And we know by looking at Indiana's schedule that Iowa and Maryland are both on Indiana's schedule. We also know that they are coming to Bart Kaufman Field, which means that if you are in Bloomington or you know people in Bloomington, you need to let them know, come to Bart Kaufman Field this weekend. Huge series. Iowa's coming to town. And then later on in the season, Maryland will be coming to town. Interesting point. Neither of those teams nor Indiana play Michigan. Michigan ends their Big Ten challenge. They're already 5-1 up to this point, having taken a series at Illinois, which surprised several of us. But Michigan finishes up with Minnesota, Northwestern, and Ohio State. That could possibly be 9-0. That could be three sweeps. So if you take those as three sweeps, which based on the way those teams are playing right now, that would kind of be the expectation. What's surprising in all of that is to say that if one of those teams were to win a game, you're probably thinking it's Minnesota. So let's just say they did it. They go 9-0. Then that means that the middle stretch, which again does not include Iowa or Maryland, it includes Michigan State, Nebraska, and Rutgers, play that somewhat conservative and say Michigan goes 5-4 in that 9-game stretch. Well, if that's what happens, then Michigan finishes 19-5. And the way these things typically go, I think 19-5 is probably a Big Ten champion. Not a guaranteed bet, but that's where we're at. Now, Michigan was not predicted to be this good. Coach Bockage took a lot of the talent that he had put together at Michigan with him, but you know, it's clear that Tracy Smith is doing something with what he's got, and with having taking, you know, whether it be the transfer portal or whatnot, and being able to build the opportunities that program has. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. But you don't really have anyone, and even at this point, still talking about Michigan as a Big Ten favorite based on the schedule. And the schedule is a big deal when it comes to this. I think that that conversation needs to be had. And I'm by no means saying that Iowa, Maryland, and Indiana, even Nebraska, are out of the picture. Illinois, I'd say it's a little tough right now. Illinois' road is pretty much identical to Michigan's, but Illinois is starting 2-4 instead of 5-1, having lost a series at home to Michigan. So I think that Illinois has really dug themselves a hole. But things can you'll see sweeps you did not expect. We can remember, Rutgers swept Nebraska at Nebraska the year Nebraska won the Big Ten. So there are always weird things that can happen in series play. But I think it really, really puts the, if Indiana wants to win a Big Ten title, they're going to have to, there's not going to be a, you can get away with losing a couple series. That just isn't in the cards here. There's going to have to be some sweeps, and they're going to, then you're going to have to look at actually, winning series. The good news for Indiana is in front in the RPI in the Big Ten. So the biggest thing Indiana needs to do to bolster its resume is win the big series. So looking at Iowa, looking at Maryland, looking at Illinois, possibly, all those are opportunities to pick up big series wins. And that's what we're going to be looking forward to. And right off the bat, maybe one of the biggest series of the year is the one coming up this weekend. So what do we want to say about the Iowa series coming up?
Well, the Friday game, obviously, we're going against their stud, their MLB pick. Brecht is a guy who's coming up on MLB boards, and obviously he's going to be somebody that's one of the best pitchers we face in the Big Ten season, right? We face some great arms in the SEC. We face some great arms at Texas. And then here's one of the great Big Ten arms. And I can't speak too much about the rest of their pitching staff, I'm not going to lie. But I know Friday night's the big test. And being at home and the way they've been on fire at home, I'll take us.
Cool. I took a little bit of a look at the kind of the box score from their game against Maryland. Maryland won the game that Brecht pitched. He had a no decision in it. He went 5.0 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, struck out 13 in those 5 innings.
Ooh. So he's solid. He made this Golden Spikes midseason award list. He's the real deal. I saw something like 60 Ks in 30 innings. So that's two an inning.
Yep.
So we haven't been striking out as much this year. Compared to a bunch of years, honestly.
Yeah.
So maybe this is good stuff for us to be able to put the ball in play and see what happens.
Yep. So I think you just kind of take what Peter told us, that they've got a very clear strategy on this, which is to be on fastball timing. But this is going to be fastball timing that they're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
We're not used to 10. Quite frankly, they haven't seen that kind of velocity even on the road this year.
No.
So this is a new animal that they have not seen. Now they've got machines that can throw that hard. So I'm sure that's what they're kind of working on.
Yeah, so then your heartbeat's beating a little faster in a game though.
Yeah. So then the idea and the question is to what Peter said, they've got to be able to deal with his off speed. And then the question is, can he land his off speed for strikes? If he can land his off speed for strikes, it's going to be a real tough Friday. But Maryland got him out after five. He got up to 94 pitches in 5 innings. That's the thing about strikeouts. Strikeouts do tend to eat pitches, and we need the guys that have been good at this, particularly Glasser and Taylor, who have been really good at, if they're going to go down, they're going to take 8-9 pitches to make that happen.
Yep.
Right. Glasser especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Maryland then did a ton of damage to their bullpen after that.
Yeah.
So the hope is that that basic, that you kind of look at that game plan that Maryland has laid down and go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun series, I'm sure, right? You got the Friday nighter, you got two noon games, Saturday and Sunday. The weather seems pretty good. I would expect some big crowds. Saturday, you get your baseball cards. Sunday, you get your Easter egg hunt after the game. You know, this is a fun weekend at the BART. And I know from talking to people that I know around the program, they were shocked by Sunday's attendance. Okay, they didn't open the other gate. They didn't have the extra staff there. They did not expect what showed up Sunday at 11 a.m. for that doubleheader. They'll be ready for this weekend.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. They were very impressed by the fan base from the community for that Sunday doubleheader. And it might have raised the bar a little bit for what is expected at the home games. I remember walking in at 11 when I got to there, 11:30. But I was like, whoa, like this is an impressive crowd for 11:30 in the morning for a game that was supposed to be noon anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people around the program, you know, facilities wise, were very impressed, and it was unexpected. There were some long lines of concessions. There were it did move a little slower. They were understaffed. They did not expect it, and it really shows that people showed up for this team that day. And I would think this weekend would be more of the same.
Yep, and this team needs it, and they need the guy, and you know, need the crowd to be loud, get really into this because. We know Iowa was loud last year.
Yeah.
And it's, and there is, there's some payback to be had.
Yes. Very
particularly,
much so.
After that Thursday night game, which we're not going to get into any more details on.
I will get into this. The fire plug of this team is Josh Pine. And I think it's evident if you go to a bowl game, I don't know how much it comes across over the radio or TV, but if you're at the game, you can tell that the vocal leader and the guy who's, you know, vocal is Josh Pine. And when we had him on the interview and we asked him what's the series you're most looking forward to, he did not say Purdue. He did not say the Auburn SEC. He did not say the Texas. He said Iowa. So I think they're a bit fired up.
Yep.
Just a little.
All right. Okay. Well, let's take a quick look back to the series that that just concluded. I think there's some hardware to hand out. Chris, what do you have in the way of red belts?
All right. So for this week, as always, we have three red belts: the Alex Dickerson Offensive Award, the Joey Donato Pitching Award, and the Tony Butler Defensive Award. I'm going to start with the Tony Butler because to me, there wasn't too many like super standout plays. And I can't really give a red belt because we made two double plays in two consecutive innings. I wanted to because I really was impressed by it. But I'm going to go Devin Taylor for just his overall play in the outfield. And especially in that eighth inning, game one, he made that diving catch to not let them even have any hope, right? We hadn't scored in a long time. Kraft was dealing. And that play that Devin Taylor made in the field. And it also speaks for him. I mean, he's been out there doing what he has to do. He's really been a surprise. We knew he was going to hit, and I think we didn't know where he was going to play in the field, and he's excelled out there. So Devin Taylor's getting the Tony Butler. Now, the pitching award, just like last week, I'm going to tell you someone who didn't win the red belt for pitching, and he threw 2 1/3 innings. He got a win. He got 5 Ks. He came in the game with the bases loaded with the stirrups high. And he didn't win the red belt. Wes Burton was amazing. He really was. But I got to give it to Ryan Kraft. You know what I'm saying? This kid, 5.1 innings, 5 1/3, 1 hit, no runs. Ironically, throws 71 pitches again. Exactly what he threw last week, 71 pitches. I don't understand. Maybe Glance got something for 71. Last week, it was 4 innings and 71 pitches. This week, it was 5 1/3. 1 hit, no runs for Ryan Kraft. And just before we touch on the offensive, I had to go back to February 25th to find an earned run that Ryan Kraft has given up. Okay? He did give up 2 unearned on that one Sunday at the BART when he came in. Something happened, a couple runs scored, but he got through it. But we're talking about 5 1/3 for 71 pitches, one hit last performance. The one before that, 4 innings, 4 hits, no runs. Before that, you had, and it shows what they did with him, right? Kraft was doing 1 inning, 1 inning, 2 innings, 1 inning, 1 inning, 2 innings, right? Now they're extending him. Now they're like, we got a lead after 3 innings, Kraft will just do it. And it's really impressive. I mean, I had to go all the way back. I went back. It's February 25th to Texas. The last time this young man has given up an earned run. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 appearances scoreless. The 10th appearance back is February 25th. So Kraft has been outstanding. I was surprised he wasn't on these midseason lists for pitching, but it's probably some kind of SEC bias or something, but he's been gold. Ryan Kraft gets another red belt. So that leaves us the offensive red belt. And I got to tell you, I'm doubling up. Devin Taylor gets it again. Okay. 4 RBIs, 4 hits, 5 runs scored, and 4 walks, which I thought was impressive. Devin Taylor really shined this weekend at the plate and in the field. So he picks up the double. Maybe he can get on the mound. Maybe he'll get the triple maybe 1 week. I don't know. But we got Ryan Kraft for pitching, Devin Taylor for defense and offense for this week.
All right. Okay. Well, we've taken another look back, and now we'll take another look forward. This time is our Big Ten Pick'em competition, which right now we've got just Josh. He's just tearing it up. He's at 6-2 so far. Cass and Chris, you guys are there in the middle at 4-4. And as I said, I'm pulling up the rear there at 3-5. So we've got 5 series again this week. And it seemed to me on the surface things looked pretty easy last week, but it turned out there were quite a few surprises in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Including ones that got all of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, again, we were not going to pick Minnesota. We just weren't going to do it.
No.
And that was even, you know, with having just seen Ohio State, we didn't think they were that bad.
No.
And then for Ohio State to host Minnesota and lose that series, that was a bit eye opening. And maybe it's taken 3 years, and maybe now Minnesota's just now starting to figure it out. I don't know.
Starting to turn the corner.
We will see. And what's interesting is Minnesota is hosting Purdue this week. So that's actually, at this point, I would have to say is an interesting series. But you've also got the battle for Illinois. Illinois is at Northwestern this week. You've got Nebraska at Michigan, which huge for Big Ten implications either way. Again, as we said, Michigan is in a really good shape for the last part of their schedule, but this is one of their tougher series. And again, both teams, you're kind of trying to figure out, are these teams for real? We've already mentioned Purdue at Minnesota, Ohio State at Michigan State, which I would have thought really, really interesting a few weeks ago. I'm not quite sure how interesting it's going to be yet. Maybe it's just Ohio State's been reeling a bit, and maybe they're ready to get back on track. We'll see. And then you've got the top two teams from the conference last year, Rutgers traveling to Maryland. Rutgers has kind of got to get back on track. Maryland's been playing very, very good baseball. So I think those are 5 very intriguing series. I would say the most intriguing series in all the Big Ten is the one we're not going to be picking, and that is going to be Iowa at Indiana. I think that is the most interesting Big Ten series. But we will not be picking that for obvious reasons. We will go to last year's champion, Cass, to be the first to give us picks for this week.
Okay, well, I'm going Illinois over Northwestern because that one feels kind of obvious. I went back and forth with Nebraska, Michigan. I'm going to go Michigan,
okay,
especially at home. I don't trust either of these two teams, but I'm going to go with Purdue. Again, it's more going not Minnesota. I now don't trust Ohio State at all, so Michigan State. And I also went back and forth on Rutgers, Maryland, but I'm going to lean toward the home team and take Maryland.
All right. Chris, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with Maryland also with what Cass said. They really do have a home field advantage, as much as I don't like it. You know, I've seen it. You see it on TV, you see it in the Super and the Regionals. Their fans are into it. I'm going to go Michigan State for another home team. I'm going to go Nebraska, and I'm going to use this to say they still want revenge against Tracy for that Big Ten title game, okay? They haven't played him in a Michigan uniform since then. They're probably still pissed off that we beat them in front of like 20,000 of their fans in 2014 in Omaha. So somehow I'm going to go revenge game. Same coach, different team, different stadium. Still taking Nebraska. Michigan State I'm taking. I don't know how I'm getting sucked into this, but it's anti-Purdue, but I'm going to go Minnesota. And then I keep getting sucked into these Sunday wins. And Illinois got one against Michigan, and I'm going to take them. That one, I'm not that sure, but I know Cass said it seemed obvious for her. It doesn't seem obvious to me. But that Sunday win again from Illinois has got me taking them for my last pick.
All right. I still do not have Josh's picks, so you'll have to check those out on the site once they're up. My picks... I've got Illinois at Northwestern. I'm definitely picking Illinois. I agree with Chris. I like Nebraska at Michigan. I think this Michigan train is going to come off the track at some point. Again, I don't think this derails Michigan's Big Ten title hopes. I think Michigan gets one of these three and they're still in really good shape, to possibly win the conference. I am going to go with Minnesota. That is my call. Michigan State and Maryland. So I guess Chris, you and I are perfectly aligned in our picks. I think it's the first time we've had a match.
You want a match? I might want a match for those other two.
I don't know that you want to match me this year.
No. I said I don't think we have matched. We've had any matches so far this year.
I think
year.
We've had.
Yeah,
four
I'm
different...
saying I don't know if it's good that me and you are matching either.
Well, I'm sure you don't think it's good. But just look at my record, and you've got to think that's not good.
And you saw mine last year.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out. Yep. Very curious to see what Josh comes up with. So these are really interesting series. So I am very curious to see how it pans out. And I think it'll help us get a better picture about how things are going to go down the road. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I think I look back at mine, and I think a lot of mine is I've been waiting recent results more. And that's clearly a poor strategy. That the recent results have not been speaking to how these teams are performing to start league play. There's just been a lot of surprises with that. So the question though is, is that gonna play out over the course of the entire league? And like what I say about Michigan, it's okay. We know even to sweep a good team, to sweep a team that's struggling, that's still hard. Maryland did not sweep Minnesota last year. Maryland, who hosted a regional, did not sweep Minnesota last year.
They were supposed to host the Super.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They had a. So, the Big Ten, I mean, this is the thing. We're kind of looking at Ohio State as almost bottom barrel of the Big Ten. They still have one of the best arms in the league.
Yeah.
Indiana hit him, but you know what? He's still one of the best arms in the league. He still performs well.
Fundamentally, they were really good.
Yeah. I did not get that impression that, oh, this is different than the impression we got watching Minnesota last year.
Right.
We got that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean to Minnesota, but objectively speaking, they didn't look that great.
People were talking about us last year when we were struggling. Well, and they didn't mean to be mean; they were just saying facts.
Yeah, and it did not feel good when Indiana lost a game to Minnesota. No. It felt like that was, you know what, that was, you're at the point of just about qualifying for the Big Ten tournament. It felt like that was a sweep that a team like that needed to get. But what it came down to is Indiana just did not have the pitching depth to sweep series last year against anybody. And that's why
couldn't you win series early in the year. Couldn't even win a series.
Right. But eventually they got to the point where they could win series. But even in that stretch when things were going well, and even when you had Ty Bothwell throwing 7 no-hit innings in that series.
That was so sweet. When he threw the no-hitter, that was the best.
Yeah. But then what was going to make that so great was that, okay, that's going to set up an opportunity to sweep the series, and it didn't happen.
Right.
And in the end, it was okay, because in the end, they lost the last 4 games of the conference play, but they still managed to get into the tournament and then managed to knock Maryland out. So that made it all worthwhile.
Oh, the best. Yes. The best.
Yes.
So yes, a very, really very interesting set of series to go to. But again, if you're anywhere near the Bloomington area, let's really make a point to get out to the BART this weekend. It's going to be exciting. So very, very, very much looking forward to that, and seeing the BART like it looks in the back of behind Chris right now. That's what we want to. That's what we're hoping to see this coming weekend. Any other points? Any other points that we failed to make so far this week?
I mean, I think we touched on a lot of it. If there's anything to just bring up, I for me, it's just the anticipation of the rest of the Big Ten schedule. Right, we're sitting there up top now, and it feels good. I'm not going to lie, but it's just we want a consistency. We want Mercer to still be able to go through all these arms that he's been going to. You know what I mean? The guys start off good, but you want them to be consistent. I'm not worrying about the bats. You know, I'm really not at all. But I want, what'd you mention? How many pitches? 19 pitches have thrown already this year or something
20.
Like that?
20.
Is it 20? 20 pitches. I don't know if it has to be that many. You know how they say in basketball, sometimes you want to shorten the bench or whatever the case. But I mean, even if he comes up with 15 that he can go to, I feel like he must be a kid in a candy store right now compared to last year with all these choices.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just hoping for consistency, you know. Nothing is a given. Nothing is a guarantee. But if we can show something this weekend with our pitching, I don't expect to win these games 11-10. I don't think that's how they're going to go down. I think if our pitching steps up, we can win a 6-4 game. We can win a, 7-2 game, something like that. And I'm looking forward to consistency from the arms. They've built a track record now, right? It's been a few weeks. Yeah. The bar is set where it needs to be. And I wouldn't mind it going up a little, but let's just keep it at least where it is.
Yeah.
And to the point that Peter made, we've seen consistent improvement defensively over when you look at week to week. Things did not look great in those opening series. There's throughout the season, there's been flashes of greatness out of the defense. But that consistency, that not making those critical errors, you're seeing a good solid consistency. And to the point, they did it on a field like Penn State, where historically Indiana struggled. So they've lost whole games because of poor defensive play on that particular field. Now coming back to the BART, after a really solid defensive play in Happy Valley, you add that to the pitching, because that we know, especially when you have that many pitchers that you're going with, that you've got to be able to not give away outs. So the defense is a big piece of that, and the defense has actually been able to get some extra outs. The point Coach made was, about what they've done with cuts and relays, that they actually earned, I think, at least one game, they actually earned 2 outs through that process.
Yep. And also going on what something Peter mentioned, having a standard Friday, Saturday, Sunday series after a whole bunch of non-standard
yes.
will be very nice. Man. And it'll be interesting from a pitching perspective to see how they get everybody back onto kind of that more normal schedule.
Yeah. The opportunity to be able to use some guys on both Friday and Sunday, which is something that was not even an option. Yeah. Now, part of it's going to depend on, you know, how that Friday game shakes out. And to the point of talking about, you know, what do you need to do in order to sweep a series? You've got to be able to cover 27 innings. And that's where that struggled. Even playing a team last year that struggled like Minnesota, it's that you've got to be able to cover 27 innings. To where, you know, even Maryland to some degree struggled with that. It's not easy. It's not easy for any team to be able to do that. And I'm not saying by any means that the goal here is to sweep Iowa. It's not. But at the same time, you also have to win a series like that if it's going to be close all of the games, or even, you know, if you have a close loss, that's almost like winning from a perspective of, you know, you're going to have your best pitchers going the whole time. You're going to expect your top arms to be there. So even if it were to turn out to be a loss, you might end up using some of those guys for one inning piece, and then see, is that something realistic to where they may come back on Sunday? Very interesting to see. All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more information, keep an eye on iubase.com. I've been trying in most games to keep up the live blog. I'm going to try to do that this weekend. There will be, I will say on the website, there will not be a live blog for the midweek game next Tuesday, when Ball State comes to the BART. So I'm just letting you guys know. Hopefully we'll have, some activity on social media. Nudge, nudge, Chris Cass, if you can, guys can help pick me up there. I am unfortunately not going to be able to follow that game live. So that's not always going to be a consistent thing, but we're going to definitely try to keep things up for most games. I will be at the BART for all three of the Iowa games, and we'll be doing my best to keep everybody updated on what we see and how the Hoosiers perform this weekend, and get you as much information. What I have tried to do, just to let everybody know, is kind of have the headline type, this is what happened, updates on social. And I've been trying to add a bit more in-depth analysis on the website portion of the live blog. So if you're wanting a bit more detail, what did I think about, you know, how was this pitcher looking? How does this fit into the mix of the whole game? I'm including more of those details in the actual text on iubase.com, the actual page that covers the site. So, we are not selling advertising or anything, so I'm not just trying to get clicks. you can look at our site. There's nothing. We're not getting a dime from that. So it's really just about trying to provide as much content and analysis as we can. So, but we'll also, I'm also updating the Big Ten standings nightly. I have also added RPI ranks to the Big Ten standings. I think it provides some good context, because it's like, oh, well, you know, Iowa's 1-2. Yeah, they're better than that. So don't go based on just the fact that they've lost one weekend series. That's not who Iowa is. So they lost that to Maryland. and they were nationally ranked when they lost it. So they're not nationally ranked now because they lost it. But Iowa is a very good program, and like we said, they've got a huge MLB pitching prospect that will be most likely throwing on Friday. All right, so that will conclude this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. We definitely want to thank our special guest, Peter Cerruto, for joining us. You'll be able to see all of our Big Ten Pick'em picks, including Josh Bennett's, once this is posted. So for Peter Cerruto, Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer. I'm Carl James. See you this weekend at the BART.